across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Gotta tell you, folks, right now I feel kind of lost supporting Republicans. You know, it's like there's nothing there. Rand Paul and Chris Christie are in kind of an egg fight where the winner has less egg on his face than the other. But remind me again, why are they any different than Democrats? Now, my co-host is a Chris Christie fan. He supports him as far as he can throw Christie's Jenny Craig weight loss plan. Christopher Hart!
And that ain't there none too far either, I can guarantee you that.
Well, okay. They studied what their weight loss program is. Should I look like,
No, I think he had the stomach surgery. He had that
stapling?
Yeah.
Or bypass, or
it was supposed
the
to.
ring or something.
It sure doesn't look like it did it made any difference.
I saw it today. I was like, okay. When was that going to happen again?
And his politics are still upside down, too.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. My brother lost 35 pounds in about 2 months, and it didn't require no stapling or no surgery or no nothing. He just went on a special diet. And Chris, I'm sorry, buddy. Whatever you paid, what's the get your money back program on that?
Oh, I don't know. But it's, as I said, it doesn't look like it did Chris Christie any good. Certainly not his politics.
That's what I mean.
But you mentioned about the Brave and whether or not it was worth it. It will only be worth it as long as we remain strong and vigilant.
That's exactly what I meant.
And unfortunately, just for chuckles, Hagel has put out some plans for downsizing our military that will make it near impossible. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we go there, I see we have a caller on the line. But before we even go there, I want to talk about, I've started this campaign that for the Republicans, because obviously, as Larry alluded to, they can't seem to get it done for themselves. So we have officially started the congressional and presidential campaign right here on the American Adversaries. And our campaign strategy is to take a page or a play, if you will, out of the Democratic playbook. And we are going to declare that President Obama and Democrats in general have been conducting actively and knowingly a war on the middle class. Because there is no other way to explain the effects of their policies other than to say that they are all complete idiots and doofuses. And sorry as it may sound, we all know that that's not true. These people have a little bit more brains than that. That's the reality of the situation. So they have purposely declared war, even though they don't say it, on the middle class. And that's why they go to so much trouble, shall we say, to use that terminology on the Republicans. Their war on women and this and that and the other thing. By the way, which I would say the Democrats.
Their catchphrase, Chris. They coined it. Come on now.
Well, the point is, they are actually, as a side note, more at war with women than Republicans are. But that's for a different day. But I just wanted to give you the latest evidence. We went through some yesterday, and I'm going to do this on a regular basis. So if there are any Republicans out there, maybe it'll subliminally get driven into their mind, and they'll think they had the idea, which I don't care. All right, so yesterday the GDP numbers came out, and it was 1.7 for the second quarter of this year, less than the 2% that we had been told up until just a couple of days ago, if not weeks, that it was going to be 2%.
We've been pre-warned it might be as low as 1.5. So, Chris, now, come on, it really was good news.
Wasn't good news at all.
You're
it
right.
was bad news, and
it
bad
was.
News in particular for the middle class. Because, once again, they're the ones who bear the brunt of this and who feel the effects of bearing that brunt. Now, the rich, they bear the brunt of a sour economy too, although with the Obama economy it hasn't been that sour for them, but they don't feel the effects. I mean, they can weather the effects much easier. Let's face it. If you have to come up with a dollar and you only got 10, it's going to hurt you a lot more than if you got 100,000, right? So that's
or
the comparison.
Billion, yeah.
But you get the idea of the comparison. With the poor, they still get the government benefits. So they're basically, yeah, they're poor, but they always were poor. Right? And that's for another day. This economic recovery, if you even want to dare to call it that, as we have said on this show over and over again, is the worst in history. And now, Obama knows this, but his excuse is, well, yeah, it was the worst of economic and financial disasters since the Depression.
It's a worse recovery than the original Depression.
And traditionally speaking, other recoveries, with the exception of the Depression, where Roosevelt did much the same as Obama, which is basically borrow and spend and tax and spend, all the other recoveries have basically correlated into this. The worse the recovery, the worse the downturn,
the crash,
the better the recovery. So if we use that as a guide, this should be boom times. We should be booming. That would be more characteristic of the depth of this downturn. The depth normally reflects in the upturn. In other words, you sort of flip it over. If you're looking at a graph, let's say it goes down 5, it should go up 5. That should be the reflection. But we're not seeing that in this recovery because of Obamanomics, and more specifically because of his war on the middle class.
Well, Chris, is this endemic of playing Band-Aid type of recovery?
Where
really you don't let the economy, you know, go down. Oh, no, we'll keep it afloat until the big crash happens and it's too late for Band-Aids.
It's endemic of liberal thinking. Is what it is. Remember, these people think they're smarter than the rest of us. They think they're smarter than God because
and smarter than economic
they
trends.
They think that they're smarter than all of history put together, and that they are going to take advantage of all the mistakes of history, and they've got it all figured out. Well, of course, we're all going to hell in a handbasket because of that policy. Only they don't suffer from it, so they don't really care. To them, it's working just fine. Look at the Obamas. It's working fine for them. Look at their friends. It's working fine for them. They are isolated. The way the rest of the country lives is might as well be as alien as if a Martian were walking down 1600 or Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House. They have no concept. Obama is so far removed. He was always lived a different, shall we say, lifestyle. And he is so far removed from the middle class, he has no concept of how that we live.
Well, Chris, it's like liberalism is a series of train wrecks, and everybody else gets hurt, but they don't.
Yeah, they just go merrily on down the track.
To the next train wreck.
Exactly. That they cause, and then they just keep going.
And everybody else
doing
gets
it over
hurt.
And over again. I want to talk about these military cuts, too, but Brad's been holding. He wants to talk about Snowden, and that kind of transitions us into foreign policy affairs. So let's go to Brad. Thanks, Brad,
Putin.
For calling.
Putin, Snowden, man.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I thought yesterday was probably the biggest with that war on the middle class, but today I come to you, and I'm going to ask you guys to keep up the investigation on this, because this troubles me. As you know, I'm a Reagan conservative, and what happened, you remember a couple months ago, Obama famously said at the podium, he said, I'm not worried about some 29-year-old hacker. But let me tell you, when you tell your attorney general to ask Vladimir Putin to please release him to us, and we'll take the death penalty off the table. No two things could be polar opposites. And what that tells me, and I'm angry because I heard John Boehner and other Republican leaders say as well, that what Mr. Snowden has done is, you know, hurt us in our war on terror. I'm sorry, I'm calling crap on that. I am going to say right now, to me, Eric Snowden is a hero, and he has things, and if the owner of WikiLeaks, if anything should happen to him, I'm talking about our liberty and our freedom. He wouldn't go out on a limb like this if it was just listening to phone conversations. This, to have Eric Holder say to Putin in a bargain, I'm going to take the death penalty off the table, tells me that they know that he's got information that would bring this administration to impeachment and much worse, the whole country. I don't know if that sounds silly to you guys. I'm not usually a conspiracy guy, but here I am saying this now, and we'll see what happens. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I'm not far away from you there, well, guy.
I was going to say, Nostradamus, I'm sure, is listening, and he's our main conspiracy guy around here. Obviously, the administration values him. You're saying that. You're saying it in a different way, but obviously they value him, and so they know a good deal about what he knows.
And what they're using, Chris, is they're saying, okay, I have information I don't want out, but we need information the rest of the country doesn't want to get out, and that's how he's getting other Republicans and other people to kind of back him up on this one.
Well, are you talking about Eric Holder?
No, I'm talking about Snowden. I mean, what the information he has and what, you know, Brad's talking about what he has against our government and
well, what he has is he knows what the NSA has been doing, and that's what this is all about. And what Brad, the points Brad's bringing up, and correct me if I'm not mistaken, Brad, but you're saying that this is being done without our knowledge. That's against our Constitution, if you will. That's against our liberties.
And so
from that sense, yes. Now, the question in terms of the Russians is, What Snowden has been revealed in the press so far, if you had done a little digging, you probably could have found out on your own anyway. Now, he obviously knows more than just how things work. You would presume that if he knew how things work, he might have done a little snooping around himself. And I believe that that is what the administration is worried about and what he may have used to tantalize the Russians, who finally did, by the way, give him permission to stay in Russia. So,
well, to Brad's point, he was pointing that out, that Snowden has something on the administration, possibly.
See, what you have to understand is the administration probably doesn't know what Snowden has, but they know what they know. And so they have to basically assume that Snowden knows what they know, and if that's the case, then yes, there may be trouble. But they may be wrong in that assumption, okay? Because he may not know everything that they know, but they have to act as though he does. I hope that explained it for you, Brad. But yeah, we'll stay on top of it as much as we can. I appreciate your call.
Now, wasn't this in the movie The Princess Bride, where you have the poison cup and the not poison cup, and you're thinking about the other poison cup, but if you saw the other guy's poison cup, you wouldn't think... Yeah, that's what it sounds
I suppose you could see it that way, but basically the administration has to assume that he knows everything, whether he does or not. So if they're smart, they have to be working on that assumption.
Sure.
Now, what does everything mean? That's a whole nother story, and we just don't have time to go there, nor do we have any knowledge to go there with. But something we do know about is just for chuckles, Hagel is trying to do to the military. Now, they claim this is because of sequester cuts, and we do know that, according to Colonel Danny McKnight, these sequester cuts are hurting drastically. But nonetheless, this could be addressed. And the other day when Obama made his deal proposal to the Republicans, where he basically talked about raising taxes on corporations by lowering their tax rate, instead of taking that money and, say, using it on the military, which so desperately needs it, no, he was going to use it on teachers, unions, and all the same, you know, regular nonsense that liberals think is more important.
Well,
does that help
our security again?
It doesn't help anything. Not only does it not help our security, but it doesn't help anything. It hasn't helped the education of our children.
It's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
The only thing that it helps is Democrats to get reelected. Nick, please give me 2 more minutes here. By the way, folks, we have a guest coming up in our next segment. Her name is Deneen Borelli, and she's the director of outreach for Freedom Works, and she's also the author of a book that just came out in March. It's called Blacklash, How Obama and the Left Are Driving Americans to the Government Plantation. So we'll be taking that up with her. But I just want to spend a couple of minutes going over these defense cuts, because they really are radical. For instance, the United States Army would be cut to levels that we haven't seen pre-World War II. Now, what is, and that was, the active forces would be down from 490,000 roughly, which they are right now, to as small as 380,000. Now, 490,000, when you consider the size of the rest of the world and all those bad guys out there, is not really big. And to cut this that significantly, that's like 20%.
22% or so.
Yeah, that's a radical cut. And look what it got us when we had this small force prior to World War II. It got us World War II. What Obama doesn't seem to appreciate, and this is also a part of his war on the middle class, because where do middle class people get their start in life? In the military. Who's going to fight the next war and be drafted when the bad guys act out, which they are definitely going to do? The middle class. Once again, it all comes back to the middle class and Obama's war on them and Democrats' war on them. Here's what's going to happen when we cut our military. He wants to eliminate two carrier forces, two aircraft carrier forces. This is in the face of the fact that our allies don't have any left, basically, and the Chinese are building them up.
Now, folks, this is not two aircraft carriers. This is two aircraft carrier forces with a ton of ships
and backup vessels, all of them that goes with it, drastically cutting the Marines. Here's what's going to happen. The bad guys are going to see their opportunity. They're going to act. We're going to be caught short. The rest of the world is going to be caught short. Then we're going to play catch up. And the only the problem is a lot of people, and I do mean this, a lot of people are going to die. It has happened before in history. It will happen again when this kind of idiocy is allowed to carry the day. You have got to call your senator and say, we got to do something about this. This cannot happen. We can actually survive Obamacare. It won't be pleasant. We can survive it. There's a good chance we can't survive this sort of thing. Not in this world today. You cannot tell me that this world today is as safe as it was back in the 30s.
Of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Okay, thanks, folks, and welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams with you now. We're going to go right to our guest. I've been a little bit long-winded and kept her waiting. But our next guest is the author of a brand new book. It just came out in March. It's called Blacklash: How Obama and the Left Are Driving Americans to the Government Plantation. Sort of the same idea what I'm talking about, Obama and the Democrats' war on the middle class.
Sure.
They're the ones getting driven into the plantation.
Yep.
We'll ask Deneen what she thinks about it. She's also the outreach director with Freedom Works, which is, if you might not have heard of them, they're a grassroots organization that educates, trains, and mobilizes volunteer activists to fight for limited government, our kind of government. And she also contributes on a regular basis to Fox News. You might have seen her on Hannity, the O'Reilly Factor, Fox and Friends. I mean, she's all over Fox News.
Seen her.
So I want to go right now to Deneen Borelli. Thanks for being on our show, and thanks for your patience.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, we're doing excellent. We got a hard break coming up in 2 minutes, but then I want to bring you back, and we'll keep you throughout the rest of the show. But real quickly, you heard my statement. We've been talking the last few days about we think the Republicans should use a play out of the Democratic playbook and declare that Obama and Democrats have declared war on the middle class. And I think, Judge, I haven't read your book, but judging by the title, that's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. There is a war against all hardworking Americans, the way I see it. And anytime you have big government, that reduces our liberties. And so we have these policies that are not in the best interest of our country, which is why we are experiencing high unemployment rates throughout the country as well.
And when you say, when you call it blacklash, are you focusing on the black community, or is this a more generalized argument?
No, it's a generalized, it's a little bit of both, actually, because my message really is for all Americans to hopefully learn from, but also have the discussion with anyone, no matter what their background is, on the fact that big government does not work, and it's up to individuals and smaller government really to help turn our country and our economy around into a positive direction.
So you're trying to get back to the roots of conservatism, so to speak.
That's absolutely right, because, you know, in my view, it's FreedomWorks' view as well, smaller government, lower taxes equals more freedom. So the more money, for example, people had to spend, more money that they worked hard to raise their families and support themselves, more money in their pocket, lower taxes. That means more freedom and choices for them and their families.
And freedom does work. And we're going to work more on this interview with Deneen Borelli when we come back from this short break.
That's right. We're at the break on every series. We will be talking about plantation health care, sounds like to me. And we'll be right back.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Another gorgeous Thursday in Central Florida, especially if you like thunderstorms. Folks, be careful. We just heard the boomers here. If we get knocked off the air, we'll be back on because you know how Florida thunderstorms are. I am Lair Adams, your co-host here with my co-host, Christopher Hart. And we have a special guest on today, and this woman is great. Her name is Deneen Borelli, and she's the Outreach Director for Freedom Works, and she's also the author of Backlash.
Blacklash.
Blacklash. See, I messed up too, like you did before. Yep. Blacklash! She'll explain in a minute how Obama and the left are driving Americans to the government plantation. And before the break, Deneen, you know, my point was, government plantation, are you talking about possibly plantation health care? Not affordable care, Obamacare, but plantation health care?
Do we still have Deneen?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay. Here we are. Okay.
Is Obamacare an example of how Obama's driving people to the plantation, onto the plantation?
Absolutely. Sure, that's just one example, because here we have a government that's trying to force individuals to do something really that's against their free will. And so when you look at Obamacare, for example, the consequences are already upon hardworking Americans, and it's not even in effect yet. For example, there are a number of hourly workers who are losing hours in order for the employer to keep them at a certain number of hours so they don't have to kick in to provide health care for their employees. And on the flip side, if you're not signing up for it, then you're penalized. So either way, it's a lose-lose for hardworking Americans.
Well, come on, I thought that was Republicans' fault. Yeah, it's all their fault.
Yeah, Deneen, yeah, he likes to blame everything on Republicans. Deneen, let me ask this question. You know, when we first started doing our show, we're coming up on our third anniversary of our show that we do on Sunday nights. And our first show, I said that if Barack Obama were in the studio with us that night, that I would kiss the man right on the lips. No tongues, but right on the lips. And here's my reasoning. He is such a good liberal. He is such a good progressive that he makes a great example, and his policies, for those of us who understand them, can use them as a great example of this is why small government is better. Was I crazy then, and I still feel the same way now? He's a gift, in a way.
Well, yes. I mean, that really highlights the way Obama is running the country. It does highlight the fact that big government does not work. Look at unemployment, for example, with the spending, the stimulus. It was sold as keeping unemployment at or below 8%, and it's still hovering well over 7%. Even in the black community, it's over 13%, and among black youth, it's over 40%.
Right.
So that's another example of the failures of the Obama administration. And that is something that really needs to resonate with Americans to see how big government policies are not helping our economy. They're certainly not helping the job situation.
Well, it's so frustrating, Deneen, because he's still their hero. I mean, after all of this, the man is still their hero. He hasn't done anything he promised.
No, you're right, and it's shocking how Obama was able to garner over 90% of black voters' support during both elections. But when you look at something like education, for example, and I talk to people about policies on a regular basis, I talk about pocketbook issues. Obama is someone who did not want to fund the D.C. school voucher program, and this is for disadvantaged black children. Now, who is against quality education for our country? Anyone in their right mind should not be against it. But when you look at the fact that Obama's daughters go to a fine quality school, they will be set for life. But if you're in D.C. and if you're in other parts of the country that does not promote school choice, which puts the power in the hands of the parents, what is going to happen with these children when they're unable to read and write and graduate from high school?
You know, I'm glad you brought up that voucher program in D.C. We were talking about this on our Sunday night show a couple of weeks ago, and it highlights something that I want to go back to what you said and you alluded to. You said that his policies have not been helping the poor and the black communities. Not only have they not been helping, they've been counterproductive. And what you just cited with the voucher program, he does not want to have that voucher program exist. We reported, as it was reported in the Wall Street Journal, as it was reported by the government statistics, that some 95%+, it was like 97% of the children in the voucher program graduate from high school, whereas 55% graduate from the public schools. It really is a no-brainer. And that's why I say it's a war. It is counterproductive.
No, you're absolutely correct. And that stat is something I've referenced in numerous speeches that I've given across the country. I am someone that's a former board member with a charter school in Harlem, New York. And I tell you, these children know the difference between attending a public school and going to a charter school where the teachers are accountable, the parents, the students are accountable. It's a safe learning environment. And they can compare the two environments, because in the public schools in these neighborhoods, there's a lot of fights that take place. You have gang members waiting outside to try to recruit these kids. They're not learning. Some of them aren't even getting decent meals like they should three times a day. And so provide students with the power in the hands of the parents, provide students with a quality education, so that there is hope for them to have a successful future.
And the best part is the voucher program, they're doing it with half the cost of what the public schools do. In other words, per child, it costs half as much, and they get twice the results.
We pay the most of anyone in the world, and look at our level of education. Now, folks, we are talking to Deneen Borelli. If you'd like to call in, the number is 407-774-8255, 774-8255. Also on the line right now, we do have our executive producer, Nostradamus. Nostradamus, how are you tonight, sir? And do you have a question for Deneen?
Of course I do. I got a long list of them, but I'll start here. Deneen, let me ask you, this is kind of a broad-ranging question. I think most people, even today, are either oblivious or really not completely clued in on what's going on in our government and in our nation. And I think a lot of them are just happy to go on watching TV shows and not really caring. But for those of us who follow this stuff day in and day out, that's a problem too, because there's so many things going wrong, I sometimes wonder where do we start. It's like sweeping sand back onto the beach. Can you put a 1, 2, 3, the three most important things that conservatives should be focusing on between now and the next election?
Well, sure, absolutely, and thanks for the question. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people, and it's a new term that I've been hearing throughout the year, low-information voters who are not really doing research before they go and vote for certain candidates. And so I think it's really important for people to do their own research, listen to both sides of the argument, but do your own research and come to your own conclusion. Don't just vote for someone because of skin color or because they look good or whatever other criteria you might go through when you vote. But it's very important to see where our politicians stand on issues, because of the consequences, whether they're good or positive, that will really run down to hardworking Americans. Energy, for example, is something that I talk about on a regular basis. Our president has a war against fossil fuels, coal, oil, natural gas. And in my view, that's a war against hardworking Americans. Because when you can't afford to fill up your gasoline tank, or you're picking and choosing, do I buy groceries or do I buy my medicine this week? Do I buy clothes for my child because I have to pay this extra money to fill up my gasoline tank or to pay my utility bill? This is the United States of America. We have a wealth of natural resources, and people should not be picking and choosing what to pay because we're experiencing rising energy costs.
Let me jump in here real quick, Nostradamus. I just had a revelation, Deneen, listening to you talk. Not only is I'm going to expand my campaign here for the Republicans. Not only is the Democrats and Barack Obama engaging in a war on the middle class, they're also engaging in a war on the poor, if you will. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about here, Deneen, isn't it?
No, you're absolutely right. And look at the the number of individuals who are seeking government assistance today, which I do call the government plantation.
Right.
I mean, clearly, we Americans should be gainfully employed. And there are situations where it's better for people, in their view, to just take government assistance because they're making more money than saying taking an hourly wage job. I mean, these are the things that we're facing here in America. There are way too many individuals who are relying on the government. And in my view, government will fail you every time because it's really up to the individual.
Deneen, real quickly, are you going to be doing a book tour anytime soon, or are you on a book tour?
I've been on a book tour since the book came out, actually. Actually, the hardcover came out last March of 2012, and the soft cover came out this year.
I see.
In 2012. Yeah, so I have been meeting and greeting people from across the country, and it's been a great opportunity and a great experience.
Right, along those lines, are you going to be in Central Florida anytime soon?
I could be if anyone has something that's going on. We can make it happen.
All right. Well, we'll definitely be in touch. First of all, I'm going to get a copy of your book and read it, and then I want to have you back to discuss it more in depth. But also, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's my first and last name, DeneenBorelli.com. And you can also visit freedomworks.org for information.
Deneen, you mentioned something about the plantation attitude, and that kind of surprises me with African Americans today. You would think they would be more sensitive to it, and yet there's so many that seem to latch a hold of this.
Well, work means work. Work is hard work.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate that there are some people in our country who think it's easier for them to just rely on someone else, rely on the government, when in fact, individuals should be self-sufficient. There are opportunities out there. It might not be the opportunity that you want at this present time, but when you work hard and you apply yourself, which is what I talk about, especially to our young people today, you work hard and you apply yourself, doors will open. I didn't get to where I am today because someone handed it to me. I've had jobs that I was not crazy about or thrilled about having. But every job I did take, I did it the best that I could, and I utilized that opportunity to advance myself to other opportunities.
And if it was a bad job, you did what it took to get to a better job.
That's correct. I even worked for the motor vehicles department when they did not have computers, and every time it rained, the roof leaked. And dealing with people and personalities and the customer is always right attitude. But that was one of the best training grounds for me to work at. And I tell anyone that I meet, I took the scenic route, really, to get to where I am today.
Deneen, you know, it seems to me sometimes that a lot of people might not take a lot of the handouts they take if they thought that it was being taken from somebody else's pocket. And what I'm leading up to is I think a lot of people see that this stuff comes from the government, so to speak, this big thing called government. And it's not coming from the people who are the taxpayers, who are the hard workers like yourself, who are actually funding it through the government. And with that disconnect needs to be reconnected. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. I mean, think about the YouTube video of the woman at one of Obama's campaigns where she said, I'm going to vote for him because he's going to help me with my mortgage and my gas. So if he's going to support me, I'm going to support him. The other one was the woman who said if the money comes from Obama's stash.
Right.
So clearly we need to continue to have this conversation so that people understand that this money doesn't magically appear, and also help them understand that there are no entitlements. People need to work and be engaged and active and try to reduce the growth of government that we're witnessing.
And instill the notion that if you have effective small government, you don't need big government. Let's go back to Nostradamus. Nostradamus, another question for Deneen Borelli.
Yeah, every time we get a good, smart guest on the air, I've been taking like an informal survey. and I know it's a long way away, but I want to ask you, Deneen, if you can pick out one or two or maybe three candidates who you like for the Republican nomination for president in 2016?
Well, I'll tell you what qualities I would be looking for, because I'm very leery in putting all of my trust in politicians. And so someone who is for less spending. We are, what, $17 trillion in debt, and our government continues to spend money that we don't have. So we need to cut spending. We need to lower taxes. If you're a small business owner and you are hit with high taxes, a high tax rate, that it prohibits you from expanding your business, prohibits you from doing research and hiring more employees and bringing in more new and innovative ways to run your business. And so lower taxes will help create jobs because the small business owner is a really big, important aspect of our employment community. But even regulations, less regulations against our industry. Look at our energy industry, for example. How come we're not building the Keystone XL pipeline? Why is the coal industry constantly getting hammered and assaulted by regulations that are driving jobs either disappearing or overseas? I mean, these are the common sense things that I look for in a politician that will help our country.
By the way, folks, we're talking with Deneen Borelli. She's the outreach director of FreedomWorks and the author of the book, Blacklash, How Obama and the Left Are Driving Americans to the Government Plantation. And you can get it, I assume you can get this still through Amazon and the bookstores, right, Deneen?
That's correct, and you can also get it on my website, DeneenBorelli.com.
And that's with three E's, Deneen, D-E-N-E-E-N, Borelli.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and DeneenBorelli.com. And speaking of websites, now you're the outreach director of FreedomWorks. How can people join or find out more about FreedomWorks?
Well, FreedomWorks.org, we are a service provider for grassroots activists, so we have a wealth of information for people to take back to their communities. And I'm also heading the project Empower.org, and that is a website for Black conservatives to network, to get information, but also to get active in this fight for liberty, for lower government, personal responsibility, and to carry that message back to their community.
Okay, thank you for that information. Nostradamus, one last question for Deneen Borelli.
Yeah, so follow up to your outlining what you want in a new candidate. So John McCain would be a no for you?
Well, I will give an answer to that. Yes, that's correct.
I want to clear that up.
Okay. Deneen, I want to thank you so very much for being on our show this afternoon, and I do look forward to having you back in the near future. I am going to get a copy of your book. And by the way, folks, we'll also put the book on our website. So if you go to our website and you see your book, you just click on it. It'll take you directly to Amazon where you can order a copy of it.
An important author, folks.
Absolutely. And we're going to see if we can find out a good reason for you to come down here and visit us in Central Florida. We have an event coming up later this month in August. I'll get Nostradamus to send you the information. But certainly, we want to talk to you much more on this subject and about your book and what you do there at FreedomWorks. Deneen, I'll give you the final word.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show, gentlemen. Thank you so much. And if there's anything I can do, please just let me know.
Well, that is, you can come back on our show. And I do certainly appreciate you being with us tonight.
You're doing a great job, Deneen.
Yeah, and once again, thanks for your patience at the beginning there.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And don't forget, folks, Blacklash, How Obama and the Left Are Driving Americans to the Government Plantation. I look forward to reading this. This is obviously a very smart woman. She's got the right idea about government. And so I look forward to having her back on the air.
That's right. We're the American Adversaries. We get the best guests in Orlando, and we'll be back.
Chaka, 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 con. Chaka, con. Chaka, con. Chaka, con. Chaka, con. Let me rock it, chaka, con. Let me rock it, that's all I wanna do. Chaka Khan, let me rock it, Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, let me feel for you. Chaka Khan, what you tell me, what you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. But let me take it in my arm, let me feel you with my charm, Chaka. Cause you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, Chaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Chaka, baby, cause you make me
feel. Is this us? Yeah, we have the 80s soul hits here, or was that 70s?
Oh,
I don't know when that was.
I wonder where that
Chaka
came
Khan,
from.
Chaka Khan.
We'll have to find Chaka out Khan. If Nostradamus knows anything about that Chaka Khan business.
You know, I just realized, you know who's playing harmonica on that song?
Me.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh no. Okay.
Not here in Florida. He's not. I'll have to sit in.
All right. Let me bring us
not
back.
Not that he played the harmonica.
Let me get us going here, Dennis. I'll get right back to you. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and it is vacation time of year, but it's never too late to plan your next vacation. And while you're doing that, think about giving Mary Lee over at Vacation Travel Planners a call. 321-251-4777 is her number. She can help you out with cruises. She can help you out with airlines. She can help you out with hotels. She can help you out with camping sites and camping gear. Give her a call at Vacation Travel Planners, 321-251-4777, and tell her you heard about her on the American Adversaries.
And for sure, folks, right now you've got to ask her about the Bahamas trips. It's incredible, the prices on some of the excursions in the Bahamas.
321-251-4777. Okay, before we go back to Nostra Dennis, I got this just a few minutes ago from Carl. You know, we were talking with Deneen Borelli, and I've been harping on the war on the middle class, and I got an inspiration. I said it's not only a war on the middle class, it's also a war on the poor. Right? I kind of like Carl's twist on it, too. He says, darn, I was going to say the war to keep you poor. That's exactly right, Carl, the war to get you poor and to keep you there. Okay,
Didn't George Orwell write all about that?
He pretty much did. Okay,
let's get everybody down the same level.
Let's get back to Nostra Dennis. And what was that Chaka Khan business all about there?
Chaka Khan.
Well, see, Chaka Khan, you know, that thing about Jay-Z and Kanye boycotting Florida.
And Stevie Wonder.
That was just a rumor. But Chaka Khan is boycotting Florida. She said on her website that she had a booking in Florida last week and she canceled it. She did record a tribute song for Trayvon Martin back in March. If you want, I can find it, and we can play it in the future.
We'll have to check on that.
I'll pass.
So where was she going to play?
Pass.
Where was she going to play?
It says, according to the website, that there was a show booked in Miami. If you go to the center that the event was supposed to be held, it hasn't yet been canceled, but you can't buy tickets for it.
Now, Dennis, my question to you is, what do Chaka Khan and Stevie Wonder have against black people in Florida?
I know.
Because if they boycott Florida, it obviously hurts blacks as well as whites in Florida.
I'll take it a step further. If they were really big people, why don't they come down here, do that concert, take every penny of it, and give it to the local black community, the churches? Wouldn't that make a little bit more sense than this nonsense?
Youth outreach programs?
Yeah. Wouldn't that just do a little bit more good than this kind of BS?
Yeah, but as you know, Chaka Khan was big in the 70s. Today, not so much. She's got 4 shows booked between now and the end of October. They include shows in Hammond, Indiana, Rosemont, Illinois, and Snoqualmie, Washington.
She's probably canceling in Miami because she can't sell any tickets.
That's happened in the past.
All right. Real quickly, we only have a little bit over a minute, Nostra Dennis. You were telling me that the Smithsonian Institution has put out a want for some particular item.
Yes, and let's be specific here. It is the soon-to-be-open in 2015 Smithsonian National Museum of African-American History and Culture.
Yeah.
They haven't opened yet. They're right now collecting the items they want to display. And the museum's director, Lonnie Bunch, says he is interested in obtaining Trayvon Martin's hoodie.
What? His hoodie?
The hoodie that he was wearing the night he was shot?
He says that this hoodie, according to the Washington Post, represents a unique opportunity to further the discussion about race in America and became the symbolic way to talk about the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah, it can become the next symbol for how to keep America stupid, how to keep people down, how to promote hate and ignorance. That is what it would be the symbol of, that's for sure. Okay, Nostra Dennis, want to thank you very much for all your efforts. We appreciate it, and thanks for getting Deneen on our show. And we appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Folks, if you really want to hear the truth about the black community, you'll listen to Carl Jackson every Saturday morning right here live from 8 to 9 a.m. and on our Sunday night show right here live Sunday 5 to 8 p.m.
Because we do not make rash choices and judgments about people, folks. We kind of sit back and listen and we say, look, this is the way we see it. We call it fair. And we will be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Right, Chris?
Night, everybody.